Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, TASS in Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. We're getting a Maryland Crab Cake Tour out on the road. We're going to be lots and lots of places later on in the month. I'm going to plug it all here before I bring Luke in. And I also want to thank our newest sponsors at GBMC. They have figured out that I am sort of the Am I still middle-aged? I think I am. I'm sort of the middle-aged guy that, like, needs to go see my primary care provider, not just because my wife says, "Have you seen your doctor lately?" I'm like, "You see enough doctors for five of us," which is true. But GBMC has been my hospital record for a long time. My brother was born there, and they're coming on. They're going to be sponsoring the hotline. Luke, you're large, right? You're not medium yet, and I don't want to insult you by calling you an extra large because I think I've done that in the past, right?
I'm a large. I can, depending on the sizing, I can do some mediums, but large is my sweet spot, I guess.
Well, this is the large prize in the pressure luck is a $30,000 prize as opposed to just $7,777. Speaking of sevens, it is our 27th anniversary. We have a new 27th logo that's about to emerge and sprout, kind of like the San Diego chicken coming out of the egg back at Jack Murphy Stadium many years ago. I think I've triggered that this is going to be a baseball segment. I mean, I don't know what Ben McDonald and Kevin Brown are talking about, or poor Jim Palmer, or poor Dave Johnson when they call him in when Ben McDonald falls out of a chicken coop or whatever the hell he was doing, hillbillying, as he has been known to do. I was there when he brought the alligator in the bag into the clubhouse. So Luke Jones is here. Not bringing alligators in. By the way, I had a great chat with Robbie Insmakowski,
Oh.
who is a longtime insider in baseball, who has sworn off the job at 50 because he doesn't want to move around 100 different places. And we talked about, the de-evolution of modern athletics and media and covering teams and all of that. Man, when they get to be last place, and Clancy's up having beers in Philly, and the owner's hiding. The woman running the team's hiding, but had no problem sending out 3% invoice increases this week. I mean, the stories that come to me are about how poorly run the franchise is and how empty the stadium is. And I felt like that's a little bit of the story with the Ravens. On Thursday the other night, I put the game on. I got off the yoga mat and I was a little in delay, which I don't mind being for the first preseason game. And I put it on and I was a little taken aback that like nobody was there. Like it's really, really empty. And I'm thinking to myself, well, it's summer and I'm off eating food and doing tastiness and doing all of this stuff and trying to have a good time, before football really begins. But this is just disappointing. And I know you're like a baseball first guy. I was a baseball first guy in 1973 for sure. I guess I had grown to, 25 years ago, not expect the Orioles to be competitive in August, but this has really been a bummer, and I don't know where the out for all of this is. And like, there's going to be a Wayne's World, do-do-do-do-do-do, and they're going to go back to last year and win 100 games and just make their pitching better in the offseason to give anybody confidence because they're not really hitting the ball either.
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at this road trip, and we talked about this in the aftermath of the trade deadline. When you looked at the individuals that were traded, you looked at the state of the roster. We said, I mean, it comes down to the young core. They've got to score runs. And then what do they do right off the bat? They wasted a beautiful effort from Trevor Rogers at Wrigley Field on that first game, that Friday. And that was kind of the story of the road trip. The pitching, now they did lose. They did have a game where they gave up 13 runs in Philadelphia where the bullpen just completely melted down. That was actually a close game until the last three innings and they just completely melted down. So we understand when you have a bullpen that even I am needing to look at the roster on a daily basis to look at who exactly is in the bullpen when you're talking about Dietrich Enns and Rico Garcia, who was just brought back, who was with the Orioles a few years ago during some of the darker times.
Yeah, I don't know anything about any of this, but I can't expect it to go well.
And that's the thing. So if you're looking at it through the lens of how does this team win on any given night, okay, if Trevor Rogers is pitching, then sure. That might be the day that they can win 2-1 because he continues to be fantastic, and he was in Philadelphia. But
Another reason to call Mike Elias a genius, right? We don't get enough opportunities to do that, right?
a reason to say, okay, that deal doesn't look as bad as it did 3 months ago, right? I mean, Kyle Stowers is still doing unbelievable things, but But you look at it through that lens. If he's not on the mound, and Dean Kramer wasn't, wasn't good, but wasn't awful his last time out. I mean, they've gotten some okay work here recently from Brandon Young. But the point is, when you get to the bullpen, who the heck knows? I mean, you have Keegan Aiken, who has kind of become the de facto closer, which is just in like crazy talk. If someone had told you 4 months ago that that's where they would be right now, Cano
No, hold
used
on,
to.
dude. I told you 4 months ago as I sit here and I eat my whipped cream from day 23 of my tastiness tour.
What, that Keegan Aiken would be their closer?
I told you that once they start dealing off all of these guys, I mean, somebody's going to have to pitch, right? I mean,
Sure,
literally.
sure, sure. So,
Whoever's left is the closer. I would have
but.
thought it was Baker, honest to God, because like I would have thought he might have been a piece that they wanted on the team next year.
Yeah, well, and but they got an attractive draft pick for him, and he's really struggled since going to Tampa Bay, right? I mean, he's kind of turned back into the Brian Baker that we saw the previous 3 years. But the point is, if this team's going to win, when you're trying to look it out over the course of a series, over the course of a week, over the course of the next month, they have to hit the baseball. There's no question about it. No ifs, ands, or buts. I mean, that's just where it is. With the state of this roster, and that part's been a little underwhelming. Now, nice win to avoid a sweep in Philadelphia. It was great to see Coby Mayo hit a big 3-run homer. Of all the unknowns, and I don't say this meaning I didn't know anything about him, but a more casual fan who, let's face it, is tuned out a couple months ago. But of all the new guys that they've brought up, Jeremiah Jackson's actually had some nice moments here. And I think they're kind of looking at him not as like a perfect trade-off, but as someone who maybe he could fill the Ramon Arias role, next year moving forward. You got to see. I mean, there are more questions about his defense, but he swung the bat pretty well. So that's been good to see.
Well,
But
if Mike Elias were here in the conversation with us, we'd ask him, and he would have a reason for having all of these guys up, right? He'd say, this guy needs to work on this, needs to work on that, but he's got a good slider. He's got a good off speed, but he's got something that
There's
can get
something.
somebody out in the eighth inning over the next month in what amounts to preseason baseball games for us.
Yeah, I mean, there's something. And look, let's be clear, of the eight guys that are in their bullpen right now, how many of them are going to be on next year's bullpen? And I'm not saying next year's bullpen's going to be fixed, but it's
Might
certainly going to
be none of them.
but it's certainly going to be revamped. And that's the thing. Okay, Keegan Aiken, I will still buy that they're not just going to cut loose Yennier Cano. I think they've seen enough in the past to try to get him back on track. But beyond that, I don't know. I mean, I really,
Batista?
well, he's got to be healthy, right? Of course, if he's healthy, that's a given. But until we hear what's going on with his shoulder, there's a black cloud right
By
there.
the way, we haven't talked since Grayson Rodriguez went down,
We
right?
haven't. We haven't. But let me just finish my thought on the bullpen, and then we'll pivot to that because
That's not a small thing.
I had touched on that though in our last
We've been
conversation.
talking about it for
Yeah,
3 months, sure.
sure, exactly. But with that bullpen, look, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that of the eight guys that they have, that they really love six of them. But to your point, with each of those guys, there's something about their baseline profile to say, okay, we really like this guy's sweeper. We really like this guy's velocity. We think this guy has a nice pitch mix of elevated fastballs and a curveball that'll mess with the hitter's eye level. Maybe we can make that into something. If they can come out of late September and say, and I don't even know who those guys would be. It looked like a week ago, maybe it was Corbin Martin, and then he completely got shelled in Philly, right? So, but. Is there one or two guys that you'll take away going into the off season and saying, I'm not writing him in pen in my bullpen, but maybe he can be my seventh guy, my eighth guy in the bullpen. He looked good enough in this period that, let's face it, aren't exactly high. You're hoping for rotation. We know, and I'll lead with Grayson Rodriguez since you mentioned it, officially out for the year. He is having a debridement procedure. That's removing bone chips or a spur, little deposits in his elbow area. It is not. They continue to be adamant that it is not related to the UCL. This is a different part of the elbow. And we've heard, Jake Arrieta once upon a time had bone chips removed from his elbow when he was still with the Orioles. So is that going to be the end all be all in terms of reversing his injury woes? I hope they hope so, but that's hope at this point, right? And that's why you can't pencil in Grayson Rodriguez as your 1, 2, or 3. If he's healthy, I'm okay with saying he's in my starting rotation, but because that's what kind of pitcher he is when he's healthy. But you can't plan on that at this point in time. But the good news with the surgery, the timetable for this, if everything goes well, and if this does clear up the other issues, I've talked a lot about the kinetic chain, right? Elbow, triceps, lat issues over and over. Is this something that has caused some of those other things, or at least contributed to some of those other things? Well, we're going to find out because they're going to remedy that issue, and then we're going to see what it looks like, right? And we're going to see what he looks like next spring. But, until you see him healthy, I mean, this is a guy who hasn't pitched in over a calendar year, right? I mean, so of course there's major doubt. So he's officially out for the year. We kind of knew that. I mean, Mike Elias had alluded to that last week that was on the table and didn't say it was official, but sure made it sound like it was inevitable that that was going to be the outcome for Grayson Rodriguez. So you hope with the timetable of this, he should be able to get back to throwing long before spring training. And you're hoping he can be full go for the start of spring training. I think it will be very telling, Nestor, if we see the Orioles have him start throwing late, 2 or 3 weeks late in the spring training. To me, that's going to be a really bad sign overall for Grayson Rodriguez. So we'll see. You hope this is a fix. I'm not convinced that it will be, but certainly it's an issue that he's had that they're correcting, and you hope that it can help him stay healthy by and large, because he's had, he's had different parts of his arm, and obviously the lat is, the back of the back of the shoulder and everything. So we're going to see. But beyond that, Trevor Rogers has continued to be fantastic. Dean Kramer continues to take the ball every fifth day. Sagano's taking the ball every fifth day. Cade Povich is back, so you want to see him have a productive last 2 months. Can Cade Povich pitch well enough over these final 2 months to say,
He's the next Dean Kramer.
I don't want to. I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but to say I would feel okay if he's my fifth starter. No better than that. I don't want to go crazy here, but I would feel okay about him being a back of the rotation option. And you just said, in an ideal world, Dean Kramer would be their four or their five, right? I mean, they haven't been anywhere close to ideal for a long time now. So we're going to see about that. Brandon Young's getting the ball every fifth day. He's looked better his last couple times out than he looked before that, but still need to see way more from him. But Kyle Bradish continues to make rehab starts. Tyler Wells continues to make rehab starts. So we're going to see those guys. I mean, a rehab stint is 30 days for a pitcher. I don't think they've changed that here over the last year or two. That's what it's been for the longest time.
Well, we know there's no hurry here.
There's no hurry, but at the same time, if all is going well and they are feeling right and they are looking right, of course you want to get them some time here over the last 4 or 5 weeks of the season once they complete their rehab assignment. So that's going to be a big one. Bradish, for me, is that's one of the biggest storylines of the rest of the year is can you get Kyle Bradish back on a major league mound? And what does he look like? Because I think, let me be clear, this is not me saying, oh, well, you've got your ace back for next year. No. But can he look good enough to say, all right, he's one of my five, right?
I
He's
would
one.
agree. Part of winning 101 games next year would be Bradish and Rodriguez being ready to go on opening day,
Need at
and
least one of those
Rodgers looking
guys.
like this,
Yeah.
and Moneybag spending some money,
Going and
and
getting one or two pitchers that,
sure.
someone that's at least a number one or a number two somewhere in that category, and then another Kyle Gibson kind of guy. And I don't mean Kyle Gibson this year, I mean Kyle Gibson a few years ago.
Nate Eovaldi. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Good. Let's go
Well,
get
I mean
him.
that would be better than that, but yeah. So but with Bradish, you want to at least see, okay, I can't sit here and be unrealistic and say he's going to be the pre-elbow injury version of Kyle Bradish entirely, but he looked darn good in September and he's one of my five. Maybe he will be my one by year's end. I can't plan on that, but he's at least one of my five that I feel good about because every sign pointed to him being healthy and right and recovered. So that's what you're hoping for. Is it going to happen? We're going to find out.
I
So,
want these guys to be as strong as they can be for Valentine's Day, right? I
sure.
mean, you know, that's
I'm.
really where the measurement is. Get them to Valentine's Day
I mean.
and be ready to ramp up to give us whatever 160, 180, 204 innings that we can get next year to try to win a pennant.
Yeah, I mean, if it, right now, and look, I have no idea because he's still only a couple starts into his rehab assignment. But right now, if you could get me, if I could sign up for Kyle Bradish giving them 150, not even 200, but 150 innings, I'd be thrilled with that because I'm assuming that's going to be maybe not the guy who finished fourth in Cy Young voting a couple years ago, but I'm guessing that's going to be top half of the rotation stuff right there, right? Whether he's the one, the two, the three in terms of performance of whoever they might sign, but let's
Put
face
an
it, man.
ERA with a three in front of it,
Yeah.
not a five.
Three, three and a half, something like that. Right, exactly. So, but you just touched on it, and this also applies for the rest of the team as well. Look, I'm hoping that especially with the money that they've saved with dealing off the assets that they did at the trade deadline, I'm hoping they're going to go out there and spend money. I'm going to be realistic in my expectations, but that doesn't mean that my expectations are whatever the floor would be, right? But no matter how much they spend, practically speaking, and even if you're on the higher end of that, let's say they're willing to take the payroll to 185 million, which would be a very large jump from where it is right now with the guys that they've traded away at the deadline. Even with that, even if they hit a couple triples and home runs in terms of signings compared to Tyler O'Neill and Andrew Kittredge, who was hurt the first 2.5 months or 2 months of the season. O'Neill's hurt again now. Even if we're going to say that you've signed guys and they work out really nicely, Nestor, you and I both know that if this team's going to get back to a point where they're contending for the division and being in the playoffs, a lot of that improvement has to come from within. And that's where we kind of bring it full circle to look at the core. Look at the young core of position guys. And that's where, hey, I want to see these guys finish on a high note. And that also, for me, is going to include Samuel Basayo coming up and Dillon Beavers coming up. I mean, Dillon Beavers, especially if O'Neill, who has this wrist issue now, and I get it. If you wait about another week, you can maintain the rookie eligibility for these guys and what that can mean for rookie of the year and getting a draft pick. I understand all that, but you look at the state of their outfield right now, you could just make the plain argument that sight unseen, but just knowing what he's done at AAA, they need Dillon Beavers right now. I mean, they need that. I mean, this team is trotting Dylan Carlson out there every day in center field, which, look, I'm fine. Give him a look. Dylan Carlson's still a relatively young guy, but he has a sub 600 OPS. I mean, he's not a starting player. He's not showing any evidence that justifies him as a starter. And now with O'Neill hurt again, they're playing Jeremiah Jackson in the outfield, right? I mean, Colton Cowser, who, let's face it, has really struggled at the plate here over the last month plus, but he's the only established guy where you say, I want him to play every day because he's got to figure this out and he's too talented and he's got to figure it out, right? He's got to be better. They need him to be better. But beyond that, right now, I mean, Jeremiah Jackson's like learning how to play right field in the major leagues on the fly. I mean, get Dillon Beavers up here, right? I mean, it's time. Let him take his lumps. Let Basayo take his lumps. And they're going to hopefully by second week of September, mid-September, you start seeing, hey, that's the guy that we were seeing at Triple A. That's the guy that, in Basayo's case, is why people have called him a top 10 or 15 prospect in baseball over the last couple years. This is the guy that even people outside the organization thinks he could be the Orioles version of Yordan Alvarez,
Well, you
right?
give Mayo some at bats. He hit a homer the other day, making
Yeah.
somebody some money in home run riches.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad you mentioned Mayo. I mentioned in passing that he hit a big 3-run homer in Philadelphia. We're going to see Ryan Mountcastle activated, right? I mean, he actually has swung the bat quite well at Norfolk and be paying a little bit of a homework assignment for you or anyone who's actually still watching the team at this point in time. When Mountcastle comes back, take a look at his stance. Some of the clips I've seen from Norfolk, on their social media, looks like he's made some changes. I'm interested to hear from him if he's made some notable adjustments, because we know how things have gone for him the last year and a half. I mean, the power's just evaporated. But that
Well, Ryan
said,
O'Hearn was a guy that made adjustments, and
sure, no
obviously
question.
Kyle Stowers made adjustments.
I mean, I'm not saying it was necessarily these major adjustments, but Ramon Laureano had maybe his best year ever at the plate with the Orioles, but certainly his best year in a few years. So it's not as though the cupboard's completely bare in terms of some of those stories, but you want to see more out of this young core. And in the case of bringing up Basayo and Beavers, you want to see those guys take their lumps. They're going to struggle a little bit. We know that, right? But you're hoping by about mid-September, let's say, those guys start showing some signs, like we're now seeing these last few weeks out of Kobe Mayo, right? I mean, Kobe Mayo struggled mightily last year. He struggled mightily early this year. Now that he's playing regularly, you're starting to see some signs to say, hey, that was a bomb that he hit in Philly the other day. So he's still gonna have his time where he struggles, and he's still learning first base. I want to see him continue to play first base. Don't just banish Mayo to the DH spot because Mountcastle's back. Continue to give Mayo opportunities at first base because you need to figure this out, right? Because you can't have three or four DHs on your team, right? You got to have some guys who can give you some defensive value. So there's still those things to look at. But overall, beyond that, the wins and losses, the standings, it's this weekend, Adam Jones. They're going to celebrate Adam Jones as they should. They're going to give away an Adam Jones bobblehead Saturday night. But Sunday, I'm guessing there's not going to be anyone at the ballpark. This coming week, when they're home, during the week, it's probably not going to be anyone at the ballpark. They're very much at the tat.
And dude, we didn't even take him behind the woodshed over the business side of this. I'll
Yeah.
save that for another day. I just want to say one thing about the pitching and watching all of these guys you've never heard of. Strike one, not ball one. You know what I mean? Like that. The biggest issue for me with all of the pitching experiments is who's throwing strikes. Even if you're getting hit, even if you're getting hit hard, you can't be up there, being below counts and in a position to walk three guys and be an inferno in the seventh inning,
No question. And very simple. And I'll leave you with this final thought on the pitching. Trevor Rogers, the last couple years, his walk rate going back to 2024, so his last 2 years with the Marlins, 4.1 per nine inning. Last year was 3.9 per nine inning. For the Orioles last year in his four starts, 4.7 walks per nine innings. You know why he's been fantastic for the Orioles? It hasn't been that he's striking out a ton of guys, but he's striking out his. A decent enough amount. He's walking 2.2 per nine innings. He's getting ahead. He's throwing strikes. He's not walking the number eight hitter. He's not walking someone to get to the heart of the order and putting himself in harm's way. He is limiting the traffic on the bases. Although this last start, Philadelphia did get, there was traffic on the bases. He pitched around it, but the big key for him is that walk rate. He's cut in half from where it was the last couple years. That is why we're seeing a Trevor Rogers more in line with the guy he was in Miami his first couple years that had everyone so excited, and why the Orioles wanted to acquire him in the first place to try to get him back to that point.
See, there's your reason to watch the Orioles right now, Trevor
There you go.
Rogers. Who
Every
would have
fifth
guessed?
day.
And that's exactly the way we drew it up that day in Toronto when the season began, like, which is 30 years ago. Luke is out doing football. I'm wearing my baseball stuff. My thanks to Curio for underwriting and talking about our 27th anniversary, where I get to go out and eat tasty things, including what I've had here that's attracted. I have the windows open, so it's sort of like my food tastes so good. Everybody wants, everybody's into it. So tastiness is the way they're going to follow along. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour with our friends from the Maryland Lottery, Press Your Lucks. We also have the Lucky Seven Doublers. And we also have a new hotline here brought to you by our friends at GBMC. They've been my hospital record for a long time. I haven't talked about it, but I'm going to have to start talking about some men's healthcare things because I'm 50. And I turned 57 in October. That's kind of hard to believe, but when we're doing 27 years, and we have the Lucky Sevens doublers too, so it's been a lot of sevens going on here. We're going to be watching out for our men's healthcare stuff. So you're going to see some GBMC stuff around here. We're going to be talking about the work they do, bringing some great guests on as well. Also, our friends at the Y. I did the Y because It's in the community. That's why. So we're gonna be doing some stuff at the Y as well. But in the meantime, Costas, Cocos, Pizza John's, we're coming, Fadley's, we're coming to all of you. Sláinte as part of the Maryland Crab Cake Tour later on in the month. It is our 27th anniversary. We have a really cool logo too. We're gonna leave the light on. He's Luke. I'm Nestor. We are Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.